This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack2.
Rain. Are you all right? I'm working on a plan to get us out of here. My uncle, he's a sailor. And he once told me of a place where people play all day.
Can I see your teeth? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 152 of Film Sack. And I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Brian, you ripped off Blade, you bastards, Dunaway.
True. Yes. Hello, Mr. Loaf. This is Yui Bowl. No, Yui. No, Yui. Whatever. Listen. I have this film about vampires, and I would like you to star as Ben Kingsley's gay vampire lover. What's that? You would do anything for my movie, but you won't do that? Right, yeah. I got it. Very funny. Mr. Loaf. Mr. Loaf, what's that now? You have a better idea? Right. Bed full of topless women. Okay, yeah, boobies is certainly another direction we could explore. Well, thank you, Mr. Loaf. It's been, call you meat? Okay, okay, yeah, meat, right, yeah. Viva la boobies to you, too.
Holy hell. That's the strangest intro you've ever given us.
Killing me.
Amazing.
I can't continue.
All right, we're going to have to. Now we have with us Randy. Can I see your teeth, Jordan?
Aloha, Brian, Scott. Mm-hmm. My attorney has advised me to read the following statement. Anything I, Randall Taylor Jordan, also known as Randy Deluxe, say on this episode of Film Sack, henceforth known as the one about Blood Rain, is intended for entertainment purposes only and shall not be construed as an attempt to besmirch the director of the aforementioned film, Mr. Uwe Boll, or Raging Boll Productions, or its works. Mr. Boll, please don't hurt me. What? You're scaring me, and you're not even in the room with me. Please don't hurt me.
Wow. Yeah. Uwe Boll. More on him later.
Uwe.
Also with us, Mr. Brian. His green eye is magic. Ibbit.
You know, this movie reminded me of that old riddle. How do you get 12 hungry Romanian prostitutes to appear as a naked harem in your film for 150 euros? Promise them unlimited meatloaf.
That's a good one. All you've right, got to. I demand that anyone who says that name in this episode, though, needs to say meat loaf. You've got to put the space,
and you got to say, and you got to have his last name a day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Meat right. loaf a day.
What is the story, Brian? I bet you probably know the story better than anyone. What is the story with Meat Loaf? What is his real name? His full name?
Marvin. His real first name is Marvin. His last name really is a day.
And there's no, but there's no loaf in the middle.
He's not Marvin Loaf a day. Right.
Okay. How you doing?
I want that to be true.
When I saw that name on the screen in the opening credits, it actually got my hopes up.
Yeah, me too. I thought at least we'll get a scene that's weird and kind of quirky and good, and you know, like you're weird. We've had plenty of these on Film Sack where a music person comes on the movie and has at least a memorable scene, and this one's really forgettable and kind of bad, his scene, I thought. Mm-hmm. And it isn't,
yeah,
okay.
Unfortunately, he just wasn't used to his full extent.
Yeah, the full meat, the full loaf was not on display.
Didn't get the full loaf.
Right. The entire loaf. Is this our first meatloaf movie? I swear we've seen one other movie with meatloaf in it. And I don't know why.
Obviously, Rocky Horror Picture Show has never been on our radar. I'm trying to think of, we didn't see that, which I think is really good, that Steve Martin film where he's a... a con man.
Dirty
Rainmaker.
No.
Like a,
I know which one you mean.
Yeah, a preacher. You know,
Right. It was a lot
faith
of people.
Healer. Faith
that's
healer.
It, faith healer.
Oh, yes. We haven't, nor have we seen Leap of Faith.
No. We haven't seen too many faith movies.
Other than that.
So yeah, I just, for, you know why? For some reason, it's in my head that he was maybe in Hot Feet in Little China. What was that called?
Hot Lead and Cold Feet?
No, Hot, something Big Little China. Little Big China. Trouble in Little China, yeah. Doesn't he seem like he would be a guy?
Hot Meat in Little China.
Yeah, Hot Meat.
That was
well. Anyway, he wasn't.
Actual films with Meatloaf that we might eventually see. And yeah. You're right. This is the first.
Okay.
We might eventually see Wayne's World.
All right.
Because I'm telling you that there's no way that movie has held up.
You don't think so? My kids love it.
There's no way. Mm. We've got to see Spice World if it's ever streaming.
Oh yeah.
Wait, that's the Spice Girls movie.
Yes.
Okay. I have that on DVD.
Yeah, Brian's got Brian has a problem. Brian has a secret
think
love.
I'm kidding.
No, he really does.
I do not.
Don't you have all their? You have their whole discography and everything. You're all into
yep.
that.
Yeah. Yep, that's my guilty pleasure. I'm not even guilty about it. I'll fully admit.
Is it the music or is it the hotness?
Oh, can't it be both, Brian?
Yeah, can it be both? Why can't it be both? What's your list? Who else? What other movies?
It was those two, and then, I do think we need to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show at some point.
I kind of agree. It would be fun to see it in the context of, because that movie was really no good unless you were like in a group and your friends and it's midnight and you're throwing wieners at the screen and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing. I don't know how it holds up as far as watching it.
Oh, it's probably terrible. It'd be perfect for us.
But it'd be really awesome for, you know, like Nerdtacular Live.
Yeah, something like that. Or just go into it, Brian, knowing that it can't be worse than freaking Blood Rain.
Right. Well, God, yeah.
Because Blood Rain is poo.
I'm not ready to talk about Blood Rain yet. Let's talk about how good he was.
Let's talk about everything else. Yeah. Oh, man. Let's actually let Scott Fletcher explain a little bit, because I'm not totally sure what Blood Rain's all about. Neither are our listeners. So, Scott Fletcher, take it away.
Blood Rain. In this gothic horror flick, almighty bloodsucker Lord Kagan wants his half-human, half-vampire daughter to become a full-fledged Lamia. Lamia? A what? You say Lamia, I say Lamia. Lamia. Schlemiesel. But the fanged femme fatale denounces her father's legacy and joins a trio of vampire hunters instead.
Oh, man. I hope that's all he had to do with this movie and didn't actually watch it to prepare. See, people don't know this, but Scott Fletcher on the inside, he watches the movies, he preps the lines, he sends them to me, he does all this work, and then he watches the movies because he also is a fan of the show. He likes to listen to the show. But I feel really bad in this one case for A, making him do the work to read that stuff, and B, watching this. Because it's bad. I am prepared to make a statement. Mr. President, I believe, too much West Wing, I believe that this is maybe, quite possibly, the worst film sack movie I've seen anyway. I don't want to speak for you three.
How many movies have you said that for?
I've only said it for, I only want to okay, say I've said it for it. Three. I think this is it. And they just keep topping each other. This is terrible.
What was the previous title holder for that?
First one was the Dolph Lundgren one.
Retrograde.
Retrograde was number one for me.
So bad.
Then it was real bad. Then it was that thing with that terrible thing with Bruce Campbell. I don't remember the name of it. The alien thing, the directed sci-fi thing that we saw.
That was way better than this.
That's what I'm saying. This has taken the crown. Right now,
for just
this is
a moment,
my
I
third.
Thought you were going to say Bubba Hotep, and I was going to tell you to shut your mouth.
No, I love Bubba Hotep. I forgot we saw two movies with Bruce Campbell in them. But yeah, it's I think the worst thing we've ever seen. Now you could argue Troll 2, but Troll 2 is supposed to be bad and it's fun bad.
No, there was one I remember that we watched that was just we couldn't get anything out of it. You know, like there was no fun stuff to talk about.
Do you not remember?
But it was recent, I thought.
Something we haven't mentioned in a while is there have actually been a couple of times we've skipped a film altogether. One of the four of us watched it first and said, guys, this is not even,
I don't even
want you to do this.
Yeah.
And I actually thought Blood Rain might meet that fate.
I did too. I got about 10 minutes in and went, oh, shit. This is so bad. Somebody get on the phone stat, but then I pushed through because I thought, you know what? We have to do. I think it's okay. Here's the trade-off. You're right, and here's the trade-off. We forced down this movie so that we don't have to see another Uwe Boll movie.
Well, I think there's more to it than that. It's like there's a factor in here where it's got a decent cast. Michael Madsen, sure. Gandhi.
The first person you named, though, the first person you named, this film reminded me that other than
Reservoir Dogs,
basically, he is like the worst actor working in Hollywood.
I didn't mind him in Sin City. I don't mind him in Kill Bill. But there's a lot of things he's good
I think in.
In
those films, he's directed and edited around.
I agree.
And he's not a leading actor. He was in Species.
That also had
crap, but it was
that also had Gandhi in it.
I'm having a hard time thinking of someone who gets actual work, and is worse than Michael Madsen when it comes to delivering a line.
It's his face. That's what wins the day.
Like he is worse than
Andy
Shaquille
McDowell.
O'Neal.
I can make a list for you here.
Yeah, the girl one, right?
No,
the girl one.
No, that's not. That's so unfair. Andy McDowell is way. I'm calling Michael Madsen worse than Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow.
Wow.
As an actor. What? Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. No. Andy or Michael Madsen is like he's like. Oh crap! I can't remember the guy's name. He was the wrestler. He was in.
Tom Hanks?
No. No.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. The wrestler. Oh. I know what you're saying. Nick.
9.5 weeks.
9.5 weeks, man. Bad guy in Iron Man 2.
Mickey Rourke.
Jeez, what's wrong with us?
Yeah, Michael Madsen is Mickey Rourke light.
especially when you look at a performance like the wrestler. Or his soliloquy in Expendables. Mickey Rourke looks like a Academy Award winner, and he was nominated for one. Compared to this, Michael Madsen, and I realize he was directed by the worst living director, and I get that. Like there, I don't understand. There were several times in this film when I was like, "Why didn't you get another take of that?" Because he clearly didn't know what he was saying. Why'd you go with the first take?
Oh, there was lots of other takes. I saw like there were times where somebody would. Reach out and ruffle somebody's shirt by accident, comically, because they were trying to point and they missed and hit the guy's shirt. Just leave it in. You leave it in. In the German films, we leave it in.
Did you get the feeling like Uwe Boll was low on money and they couldn't afford more actual film?
I made the big question on Twitter because I've never really explored this myself, and everybody cued me in on the big education about him and his films, and that is that he gets these crazy tax breaks, I guess, in Germany, where they if you make
a film, bad movies for America, we give you a tax.
Well, if you make a bunch of movies, I don't even understand the logic, but you make a bunch of movies, and if you do them for a certain level of cheap, and they do at least some level of international box office, that they'll just keep giving you these tax breaks, and it just makes. I don't know the ins and outs. I'm no tax professional or economics guy, but it sounded like it was some weird loophole in German tax stuff, and he's allowed to go ahead and do this. And not only that, somehow he's getting, in some cases, I wouldn't say A-list stars, but you got your Jason Stathams and your Rodriguez chick in this one, and like people who are in other big movies that are considered Hollywood regulars, and I don't know how they get the deal done and how they agree to this shite. Because
they got paid.
I guess.
It's money.
Is it all paycheck? Is that all this is?
I was shocked to see Billy Zane and Ben Kingsley in this movie. I mean, Michael Madsen, I've seen him in some, questionable movies.
Sure.
But come on, I mean.
Well, at least you knew but at least you knew what Ben Kingsley's job was in this movie. What was.
To grow a bigger nose?
Well, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Species was pretty bad too. And I don't know why he was in that, but this was like his He-Man. This is like, what's his name in He-Man? It's like his moment to be the baddie in a terrible, terrible movie. And he's a great actor and that's fine, whatever. But what's his name? Billy Zane. I don't even know what he was doing. I don't know what that was. Yeah, does anyone know what the story was?
He was
the father.
We haven't even talked about this being based on a video game, but Billy Zane was side boss.
Yeah, side boss. That's exactly right.
Sweet. Yeah, but okay. All right. So the whole thing's based on a pretty mediocre, not well received video game series as well.
I want to reach back because I've taken a moment while we were talking.
I want to reach back.
To list four films to challenge Scott that this is actually worse than.
Okay, go.
Waxwork.
This is worse.
Red Planet Mars.
Oh, you know what? Red Planet Mars was pretty bad. but I still think I'm going. I still think this takes it.
Okay, Star Crash.
Wait, I loved Star Crash. Star Crash made me laugh. I had a ball with that.
Really?
We've watched that three times since we did Film Sack.
Right?
Yeah, we have it on. We have it on Blu-ray, and the kids love it
because of the nudity.
Wait, that movie didn't have nudity.
No, it's stupid fun.
Oh, Star Crash. Wait.
Star Crash. Yes, Star I've seen it as well.
Well, no, is it the one? Hold on. Is it the
with the?
That's the rip-off Star Wars.
No,
the
that didn't have
the
boobs.
Afro.
Did they have boobs? They didn't have naked boobs.
Okay. But let's just get to the bottom of the barrel. You're saying this is worse than Frogs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's worse than Frogs.
I could have sworn there was another one that we said was the worst movie we'd ever seen for the show, and I don't think it was any of the four.
There's several.
We
contenders.
Say that every episode.
But there's several contenders. I was just trying to hit the real because every one of the real contenders, somebody's going to say, yeah, but you know Zardoz, you know there's something like campy about it, or
right. There's some cool thing about it, or something.
Yeah, but each of the ones you mentioned, but it was a fun factor. I remember there being a movie where we just said, "Oh, this movie is just no fun."
And did we skip it? Was it one of the skippies?
No, we kept it.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't.
Because remember, we skipped Robin and Marion. We skipped that.
Yeah, that was the first one we ever skipped, and thank goodness for Brian Dunaway taking the bullet.
Yeah, thanks for taking that one for us. There were like a couple other. I don't remember where they were, but.
I want to say it was recent. I'm just going to glance really
quickly. Yeah, dig around in there and see what you can find. But I can't.
The sack.
For whatever reason, this one really sticks out as just, it was work for me. And normally it's not, because all I can think about is, oh, this will be fun to talk about. Oh, this will be great because we'll joke about this. So even bad stuff, I get kind of stoked about. This is just amateur hour garbage.
Exactly. Amateur is the best way to describe this. Also, Saturday afternoon sci-fi channel movie.
I'll take that over this.
I've seen this on Saturday afternoon.
Really? They still have is that still a thing you can? I didn't even know. Because when I grew up, you had that afternoon, 5 o'clock movie or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And do they do that now? Can you get that locally?
It's not a sci-fi channel. They run some crappy movies during the day on Saturday sometimes.
I like that. I think that should live on in this weird multimedia world we live in now. I want that to continue.
Right.
Uwe Boll, or however you say it,
I said Uwe because I'm saying it like I say it.
Uwe Boll. Written by Guinevere Turner. I don't know who that is. Stars Christiana Loken. She is best known as the female Terminator in Terminator 3, which is not a great thing to be best known as. Ben Kingsley, he's in this for, I don't know why, money, I guess. Randy's right. It's probably just. You're aging out, you deal.
Because he said after the fact that he hates this movie.
Oh, how could how could you?
Him and Michael Madsen got together and said, "Yeah, we hated it.
We totally hated it." Michelle Rodriguez with the weirdest accent.
But she's
the only thing that's even kind of okay in it. She's the only.
She was
thing.
The bright star of this movie. She should have really had the lead in this movie.
Yeah, she'd have been better at it.
If she looked more like the character they want to portray from the video game, I think she would have definitely been a way better choice.
There are times I want to wipe her smirk off her face and everything she's in, but that being said, she's perma pissed. But beyond that, I actually think she's all right. She's interesting to see. She's kind of hot. Like all that stuff adds up. I liked her on Lost.
She was great.
She's got a DUI.
Yeah, she's got a bunch of DUIs. She's had some trouble. But whatever. She was probably the bright point in all of this. And Kingsley just looked like he had a look on his face like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Why am I doing this?
He looked like they were trying to portray Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Kinda. CGI face stretching. You guys like that stuff? That was pretty stupid.
Oh, yeah. Pretty lame. No, I was still really
see all the different things that they spent their money on in this film when they weren't spending it on script or plot.
Well, I got some trivia for you. Here's some weird trivia.
It's you gotta like. How do you make anything trivial from this film? You know what I mean? Like, what's left?
You say to be redundant to make anything
you
trivial.
You'll be surprised.
From this film?
Yeah. All of it makes Boll look like an idiot. But here's one of them. As a child, this is in his own biography that looks like it's been written by him or one of his people. As a child, he produced a number of short films on Super 8 and video before beginning his studies as a director in Munich and Vienna. Who puts that they made movies when they were kids? I made them.
And, M. Night Shyamalan did it. Yeah, there's a several directors that love that.
Yeah, they
love
but I don't think he did it because he loves it. I think he did it because he read it somewhere else and thought, I did that too. You can put it in mine.
I was a mere boy of 21. Yeah,
like with Shyamalan, you can actually see some of his childhood stuff because he's put it as extras on DVDs. I highly doubt that Bowl would do such a thing.
No, and let's hope he won't.
I'm going to give the man the benefit of the doubt.
Here's my question. Forget about benefits of the doubt. Here's my biggest question. The whole time I would ask myself this, something dumb would happen and I'd go, I wonder, and here's the question I would wonder to myself, who is giving him all these game rights? Are the publishers and developers just saying, go ahead, ruin Postal? Well, Postal sucks anyway, but just here's Postal, here's Night of the Dead, what's the Dead movie he made? Whatever it is. Alone in the Dark. The Name of the King is based on that gas-powered games action RPG. I can't remember. Dungeon Siege movie. Like, these are, and this thing, Blood Rain, and more. I can't think of the other ones, but there's others. Who's giving him the rights to these?
He's actually getting to make a third in the Name of the King film. Third one.
Dude, there's sequels to this. There are sequels to this. Yeah. And I was looking at the third Name of the King thing. I'm thinking, no way Statham's bothering with that this time. And I opened it up, and guess who's in there? It's that Dominic Purcell guy from the older brother from the Prison Break movies.
Yeah, the Jason Statham knockoff.
Yeah, and we just saw him in something else. What was it? He played something. Here I'm filming.
But if you look at if you look at Bowl's recent films, he doesn't get anybody of any name anymore.
Not now, no. Not really anymore. But there was a time there. What was going on? I'm flabbergasted that he's even directing at all, that people are giving him money to make movies. And I'm not saying that snarkily internet time. That's not what I'm doing. I mean, genuinely, this stuff is just shitty. It's really shitty. And then to get a budget and to have effects budgets that aren't great, but they're okay. They get the job done. They're more TV level stuff, but whatever. And then you get Ben Kingsley to even come near you. I don't know.
Maybe Bull is like super charismatic when you meet him in real life.
But and maybe he scares them into working for him.
Yeah, and then fool me once, you know. Then you start down that path because those guys are never working with him again. Why would they? Mm-hmm. This is terrible. Even Michael Madsen is so above this material.
Oh, he's so bad though. His reading of his lines is painful.
It's pretty bad.
It's painful. I wanted to help him get through some of his lines. Yeah. You know?
If
you know, like when a little kid.
But I still want to defend him. I think there's a place for Michael Madsen. It's just not in a film like this. It has to be a modern film. It has to be.
It's a street gritty thing.
Exactly.
Needs to be in.
He has to play the tough guy on the street, or the creepy uncle, or the one-eyed Daryl Hannah Wrangler.
A hitman, a second in command, a guy cutting the cop's ear off. He has to be one of those guys.
Randy Couture is doing better acting than this. In this movie, Michael Madsen's performance is that bad.
I agree. It's real bad. But a lot of this is directing. I mean, you give Tarantino the reins of the next Blood Rain movie, everyone's in.
Oh, wow.
We're all in, right?
And Madsen comes back for that one.
Yeah, of course he does.
The big Blood return. Rain Unchained. Oh, dude.
Blood Rain. Watch that. Blood Rain video game. I did play the old, I want to say, Xbox One version of the game. It was also on the next-gen consoles. This would have been around 2005, 06, whenever all that transition was happening. It's a real bad game, too. Not a good game, folks. It's basically they take the story of Blade and rip that off. So it's like a half vampire.
Right.
Who can kind of do half human stuff and half vampire stuff. And then set it in fake medieval land, and there's your game thing. And they literally just said, yep, that's our movie. Like, it made me long for those movies that we get mad at for taking the source material and doing their own thing with it.
Right.
And not being more true to it. I wanted that. And in this case, I desired that. I usually hate that.
I so desired it. You know that Uwe Boll, what I've been reading, when I was reading on him earlier, he's such a douche, by the way. He shoots his bird at you. If you pull up his picture on Google, he's shooting your bird.
Yep. Right.
But we wonder how he gets, you know, all these game companies to do. He finances his own stuff.
Yeah, but
he's director and producer kind of thing.
But, yeah, I mean, but are they just giving it up?
Blood Rain was okay and all, but I mean, if Uwe Boll came to you and said, hey, you know what, I'll foot the bill on a movie to give you a little bit more, give you a little bit more oomph to your game. What do you think?
Well, I guess the question is, where's he getting the money to do this? Because he's not making it.
This is where it goes back to this government thing. I'm telling you, it's some weird It's some weird thing. It feels mobstery and seedy and weird. The whole thing I was reading about and people are telling me about, and I don't have all the, I do not have all the details, but something weird is up with this guy and the way he makes films, or at least used to, or something. But, you know, like I actually hear Postal's all right for what it is. Like that was the one to see. I'm not going to believe whoever told me that.
It's got a 4.3 on IMDb.
Yeah, but this thing has like a 3.2.
That's almost marginal. That's 5 almost.
Yeah, and this thing has a 3.2, so I'd say it's like barely better. So I have no interest in seeing it. But the point is that I don't understand it. Like he does things like this. Here's some more trivia. The half-naked prostitutes in the scene with Leonid or freaking Loaf. Meatloaf. Yeah, Loaf. Marvin Loaf.
Who apparently, according to his Wikipedia page, he's recently changed his name to Michael.
Michael.
So he's now Michael Loaf.
Loaf. Mike Loaf. There you go.
You need a Mike Loaf a day.
It's my Loaf. That's what
keeps
it is.
The doctor away.
In the scene with him, they're all actual Romanian prostitutes. At the Stockholm International Film Festival, director Uwe Boll said the prostitutes were way cheaper to hire than the actresses. That's the kind of stuff you do when you're a slap-together, weird German filmmaker getting his money from who knows where.
Right. She wants how much? Forget it.
Yeah.
I can get a prostitute down there for $5.
It will add to the realism of the film.
So the whole film was shot in Romania.
Yeah.
And there are some scenes that are outside that I couldn't help feeling like they weren't actually outside. It felt like they had matted like horse riders onto onto like a video game landscape almost. Yeah.
It reminded me of Star Trek a little bit, where they do most of their exteriors interiorly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that just bugged me. The very first time they had a daytime exterior shot, I was going, "What? But it doesn't look real. Like, can't you at least go outside? Take a camera outside, put them on the horses? What?"
Despite extremely poor U.S. box office returns, the film opened in the top 10 in many foreign theaters, including Russia at number 3 and the United Arab Emirates, number 1, baby.
There's your answer.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's all, who cares about the Americans?
It's all about the market, man.
Yeah, but okay. But this is what he's probably doing. It's aimed at Americans because it's full of Americans and they're all speaking English and no one's got an accent even. It's this no accent fake thing where everyone's talking just, you know, like they walked off the schoolyard in Connecticut and they put it in this movie. But what they're counting on is that getting translated and opening in Russia or the UAE and people there going, "Oh, this is an action American film," and they get excited about it. I don't know for sure, but it feels like that there's some that he's, I don't know, maybe he's a genius. You guys, a mad genius.
Right. Well, he doesn't have to be a genius to at least break even or make a little bit of profit. So, I mean, if he's doing something that's working, we can criticize him all we want. But you know, if he can produce any kind of numbers. You know, it's a numbers game.
I realize UAE is a small country, but man, over on the Persian Gulf, they love Billy Zane.
Do they?
Oh, that's, really? That's the reason why.
See the Hasselhoff of...
I have no idea.
I like it. Let's start a rumor that he's the Hasselhoff of the UAE. That's great.
All right.
Watch out, UAE. Here comes UWE.
Love Titanic. It
is so good. He's terrible in that movie, by the way. I know a lot of people... don't like Titanic for other reasons, but I think
he
is
ridiculous. Should we bring up, what was it, the Phantom or
Phantom's pretty bad.
We should get the Phantom on here. I love the Phantom.
Yeah, actually, that'd be a great one to do for this.
Sure, but it'd be good for this show. And it would wash this weirdness out of my mouth. Jessica Alba, originally scheduled, meaning signed and ready to go, scheduled to play Katerin, who was the Rodriguez chick.
Right. And then she took a whiff of it.
And passed. She said she passed because it was too brutal for her. I'm guessing she got a real taste of that script.
That's a friendly thing to say when you're running away from something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
No, all.
Very diplomatic. Yeah, that just might be too violent. Violent. Right.
There is a scene where the man will lick the boob. I'm out.
Jessica Alba did Sin City, and this is too violent.
Yeah, too violent for her. It's such a lie, dude.
She did Machete. She did Oh my god, too. But that was
brutal. Is a funny word to use for this movie because I found the special effects laughable. I was laughing my head off. They were great in a weird way. Like maybe those were the stars of the movie. Like those slashes against the gut, and they kept using it over and over, like spraying blood. Like, so
somebody would stab somebody in the gut or through the head or something, and they would just hang there. Like you're fighting a bunch of people, you want your sword back usable as quickly as possible and out of somebody's head, but yeah. You're just going to keep it in there. All right, you got that? Okay, good. All right. Yep. Yep. Okay, now I'll stab somebody else.
There was a good one where they were standing on like a hammer or an axe on somebody's face, and it just was like pushing it into the guy's face, and the guy's face just squirting. Oh, yeah. Some of those practical effects were pretty good, but they were good in a 1979, who is this Peter Jackson fella kind of way.
Right, like cutting somebody straight through at the waist.
Right.
And
one shot.
Hey, guys, thank you for being a part of the show so far today. I want to talk to you real quick about Audible.com. Audible.com been sponsoring the show for a while, and I'm pretty excited about the book we're going to recommend this week that you can check out for absolutely free at Audible.com. Your leading source for audio content, be it books, periodicals, or whatever. It's called All the Rave, The Rise and Fall of Sean Fanning's Napster, the definitive inside account of the file-sharing revolution that overthrew the music industry. All the Rave reveals the family betrayal, the greed, and mismanagement, all that stuff that hijacked one of the most fundamental innovations of our time. This is the 10th anniversary release. Go check it out. That's All the Rave. You can get it for free, if you'd like, or any other book of your choosing. At Audible right now, all you got to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack2 and you can get a great deal. And how good of a deal? Free. That's a hell of a deal. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack2.
Right, you could hear Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino at age 20 going, ooh, I like that.
Yeah. And then the rest not so much.
No one who's actually, who likes movies that are good would ever look at these things and want to see them. Like, is there anybody in the world who is going to put on their copy of Blood Rain tonight and watch it?
Hell no.
2.8 people will.
Fire it up on.
Maybe Blood Rain 3, The Third Reich. he is on tap to do a fourth one too, by the way.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. What's it going to be called?
Blood Rainy, The Rainiest? I don't know.
The rain.
There's actually a Blood Rain spelled normal on Netflix. I was worried that some people might watch that. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I didn't bother to look, but I saw it on there and went, oh, there's a real Blood Rain. It's kind of like Dead Heat, that whole mess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with the space in it, Blood Space Rain.
Yeah, yes. Blood Space Rain.
When a boat carrying valuable cargo mysteriously catches fire off the remote Korean island of Donghua, Inspector Wong Kyu arrives to investigate, only to be confronted by an escalating series of grisly murders.
Oh, wow.
By right Kyu.
Good old Wong Kyu.
Better than this.
Oh, it sounds way better.
That sounds a hell of a lot better. I would watch that. It's probably even got subtitles. I like it better. nothing wrong with subtitles.
Oh, Clint Howard is in Blood Rain 3.
Wait a minute. I think you've just solved some of it. Why would this be popular in Russia? Well, they're reading subtitles and they're not paying attention to a horrible delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comrade, he just licked the boot. we'll get to that in a minute because I have some things to say.
Boob lick since I've seen.
Yeah, I've never seen better boob lick than this. let's just address that question real quick. The movie was R.
Yes,
I cannot name you the last R-rated movie that got that far, and I want to say Terminator 1 did this.
Well, it's funny because we've all seen this film is not yet rated, and there were very specific guidelines about the number of thrusts. Then after you reach a certain number, then it turns an NC-17, and then it turns into X.
There were a lot of thrusts.
There's many, many thrusts.
Right, but the booby part was the part that threw me off because I don't think you see that in ours anymore at all. No. I can't think of one. It's always off screen.
It was a lot more risky, and we saw that it was rated R, but did Netflix have the non-rated version?
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out.
I was wondering that too. I did look it up. I did a search for differences between the unrated or the director's cut and the theatrical version. For the most part, it sounds like what we saw for the most part was the director's cut. However, apparently in the true director's cut, so there's maybe even a third version of this. That happens after the very ending shot, the final shot of zooming in on her face and seeing her different colored eyes. And you get some kind of, meanwhile, 6 years later or something like that, you get kind of a a recap of what's happened and then what happens in the future. Or
really?
Something.
I'm sure that would have totally fixed the movie for me. That would have just...
Right. Oh!
And this was an example of one of those films where the director's cut was actually shorter. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's less in it. The director could remove 10 minutes of things that just weren't necessary and add back 5 minutes of boob licking. And, you know, it's a shorter cut.
I prefer the boob licking.
I just was thrown off by that. I saw that and went, what?
Really? We did watch the unrated version. If you go to Netflix and you look up Blood Rain, it's listed as UR.
Yeah.
Well,
you are screwed.
A lot of people think this spelled the end of any potential career for the girl. What's her name? Blood Rain.
Christina Loken.
Yeah. She didn't really do much of any note after this. A couple of TV stuff, things, but she's all right. She's an attractive lady. She's tall and stuff. Mm-hmm. She's all right.
She's pretty. She doesn't look pale enough to be a vampire. But,
no.
Right. Or a damn fear.
And her biker pants looked stupid on her. But that's just bad wardrobe. There was a lot of that. By the way, I saw a guy's wristwatch in the opening scene.
Did you really?
Yeah, somebody was just like a digital watch in the scene.
That, according to the trivia, that was Uwe Boll himself.
Oh, no way.
He was an extra in that circus scene, and you can see his wristwatch.
So, once again, the director
proving... I'm getting it. Look out.
The exception to the rule that he sucks. All right. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice the first part of the credits?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Right? Did y'all notice it right away that it was an Uwe Boll film or Uwe Boll?
Yeah.
It said A-N.
Not Uwe. A.
I'm pretty sure it's A, not
an Uwe Boll film.
Grammar people, correct me, but...
Well, then maybe it's pronounced Uwe, because then you say an Uwe Boll film.
Right. That sounds right, so I'm thinking maybe I'm saying it wrong.
But it still could be a Uwe Boll film, if you said A instead of
No.
A Uwe Boll film.
Because if you've got the Y sound at the beginning, then it turns into a
Yeah, but over there in Germany, they're all jacked up. They don't know nothing.
They don't have Minion Fagardi doing Grammar Girl over there.
Right. Right. Was she in Vegas? We didn't see her, did we?
No, she did not go up to collect her trophy.
No, there was too many grammatical errors in that room that night. All right. Yes, what?
I want to address one thing that I think either Randy said before the show or it was at the beginning of the show. One of the two. That bothered me the most about this movie is that there was absolutely no joy. None. There's no joy in the movie. So that kind of made the whole movie. I can forgive bad special effects, a little bit of bad acting, maybe some even bad editing. But when there's this nothing but just unhappiness the whole way through, there's just nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to...
Well, there was lunch in the cafeteria part where she made a joke because the kid said, "Hey, may I see your teeth?" And she opened her mouth and scared him and then laughed for like 5 minutes. That was an attempt at it. Yeah. But that was hollow joy, dude.
Yeah, it really was.
Hollowed out joy.
Yeah, boob licking.
That was the only joy.
Even that felt
empty.
It was all creepy and something's creepy about his movies. There's something going on behind the scenes none of us can see that no one will talk about. Like Jason Statham, if you pinned him down, he'd cry like a baby into it and hold a teddy bear real tight about his experience on set.
When you feel like all the actors in their heads are going, I hate this.
Yeah,
I'm licking a boob, but I still hate this.
Yeah. There may be a boob here, but it tastes like death. All right, what else is going on? Oh, I have a trope. I got a trope, even though this movie's just all tropes, and it's almost stupid to do this. But everybody rips off the Blade storyline. It's an overused... I'm not even sure Blade had it originally, even in the comic book. I don't know who came up with it first, but this idea of... make it a vampire, a werewolf, I don't care what it is, but a thing or a person who is got a foot in both worlds and is conflicted about which one they are. And they, at first they kind of seem like they're terrible, but then they fight the bad side and overcome their wicked vampire side. And I'm tired of that storyline.
Since when are vampires pervious to all water, not just holy water?
Oh, I know. That was new. Mm-hmm. Don't get near the ocean.
Right, just any water.
Yeah, don't. Boy, it's got to stink if it's just a humid day. Like maybe it's not killing them, but it's just stinging every little part. Like just little bits of stinging on a humid day.
Yeah, that'd be weird. Since there's always some level of humidity, even in deserts, no vampires wouldn't make it.
Like
that
if they
was
sweat,
done.
Does it hurt?
Of course it does. Don't lick the...
If they cry.
Don't lick the boob.
All right. All right. If I forced you to say one good moment or one thing in this movie, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh.
Is there anything? I'll tell you mine if you want to think about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. Go.
All right. Well, I did love when Rain fought Sloth in the dungeon. That was pretty cool.
Wait, Sloth is the big...
Sloth is the hammer, the big mallet dude, right?
Yeah,
the mini boss.
Prosthetic face. Yeah, the mini
level
boss.
One,
yeah.
Level one boss.
Yeah, that's right, when you knew right. You were almost there.
He made me happy.
Okay, my favorite moment was the real bad blades in the floor CGI.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Oh,
that was
pretty actually, bad. Yeah, I did kind of like that room.
It was
like,
fun. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It had kind of an Indiana Jones, exactly. Why are all these bugs in here room kind of thing going on. And then when she got up, but it kind of bugged me a little bit because when she grabbed her little purse with the eye in it and started walking backwards, that stuff should have still been going off, right?
Yeah, I would think
right,
so.
Right.
No, only works, only gets triggered if you're walking forward.
Oh, okay. I see. Like a video game then.
Right. I love that she got saved like after a foot of water got in there because they probably couldn't afford more than that. Okay, that's enough water.
That's enough water. We cannot afford more water.
You have used all the water in Romania, Mr. Bull. What will we do now?
We will get more money from the government and lick the booby. let's see what else. That's it. I can't think of anything else that was good or bad. Oh, I got another. Here's a trope. The Tron trope, I call this one. You're in their place and all their vampires are acting like nothing is going on while they run around through there. I put Tron. I didn't mean Tron. You know what I meant? I meant Borg. I meant the Borg trope.
Oh, okay. Right.
Why did
right,
I write right. Tron down? I wrote
I
Tron.
Like Tron
this movie ruined
I was
me. Seriously,
so
like
I was
the meatloafs. Meatloaf, happy party, you know, you can just walk through as long as everybody's drinking from the dangling, dripping humans.
Yeah, it's fun. Everything's fine. Like in the Locutus of Borg stuff where they were walking through the ship and all the Borg guys are just ignoring him and not seeing him as a threat yet. That's a stupid trope. I don't like it. Sick of it. Overused. Best used in Star Trek. Let's see. Oh, okay, Brian. Favorite moments. Everyone else hasn't answered it, so you guys answer. I got one more after everyone else says. Is there a good moment for Randy Deluxe, for example?
Yeah, it pretty much anything with the whole fortune teller.
Yeah.
And remember, we're talking about, you know, a movie that's 0 out of 10, so there were some spots that were a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
But that's a trope, by the way.
Oh, wait then. It deserves to have a thing. There you go.
You know, the fortune teller.
Snuck that in.
The fortune teller is this mysterious, unexplained, and I realize everything in this movie is unexplained, but mysterious, unexplained person who pushes the plot along for no reason that you're ever made to understand.
Yeah,
right.
And
right.
I thought
explain it. Yeah,
right.
Shame on this movie though for taking your because you're right. That's one of them. There's a bunch of things like that. This movie is happy to use the tropes, but not have any strings attached. It's just we need to get from point A to point B. And so you bring in this fortune teller and you don't explain why, how, what. There's no resolution to any of that. It's just bullshit.
Right. Yeah. You will find the eye that will make it so you're not affected by water at the Alamo in the basement.
And then poof, she's out. That's it. Yeah. I don't mind a trope as long as they have some connective tissue, but there wasn't any. Mm-hmm. It's just trope. And run away. Drive by tropings.
Drive by tropings.
Drive by tropings.
Drive by tropings.
Exactly right.
Me, 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 me. And then just said, they read tarot cards. Me, 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 me.
This movie has one of the best examples of sudden coitus ever.
Yeah, dude.
Like it's almost a smash cut to sudden coitus.
Yeah.
Like it's really it's a trope that I think can work when you suddenly wrench me away from something into these people who are having sex.
Yeah.
But it has to be on purpose, like artistically, as opposed to accidentally.
Yeah. Like, oops. Oh, I guess we're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did that. And you know what's good in that or a good movie for that? And I don't mean any of the stuff with the main two characters, but in Michael Douglas movie, the one with what's her name stalking him. No.
Oh,
sorry. Ice pick one. Who's the ice pick one?
Oh,
Basic Instinct.
Oh,
yeah.
Him and his wife. There's a scene where he comes home and takes it out on his wife. And it's kind of harsh and kind of terrible, actually. But you kind of walk away from that going, there's a trope in there, but it was used in context and explained this relationship and where he's kind of going with his head right now and he's kind of losing it. It all kind of had, again, it had connective tissue. This has none.
Right. Walter White did that in an early episode of Breaking Bad, too.
Right. Very good example. That's a great example.
It's a James Bond trope, and it's funny because it in James Bond movies, once you expect it, it doesn't bug you so much. You're like, oh, there's a pretty girl. I wonder if we're going to suddenly be making love here, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so it's not so bad. In this movie, you're really hoping for it to end. Like, I need this movie to be over. Seriously, there's going to be sex. We can't just end the movie now. Why? Yeah. Why?
Here's your, I got a James Bond trope right here. It goes, Bennett, Bennett, Goldfinger. All right. It's the last time you'll ever get me to do that.
Wow.
Thank you. Are you sure?
All right. So, Dibbit, a thing that you liked.
It took a while for me to think of it because I kind of like the carnival. I think any time you do kind of the creepy, dark, the gypsy carnival kind of stuff, I kind of like. But the swords, the little, the grippy, handly things that cut in five directions like Ginsu knives, I thought were pretty cool.
It's also very true to the video game. Those
I was
going to
say, that's got to be directly out of the video game. And I like how
she got
you've never ever seen these things ever before in the history of swords.
Right.
Yet somehow somebody has made a second set.
Uh-huh. An upgraded set with better grips. And it was like a video game. Like in some ways you can kind of go, oh, well, thank you at least for, if you're a video game fan, at least for putting some of that in there. But
dual wielding is a trope in and of itself.
Absolutely,
it is. And it really belongs to video games. Like there's a whole sense to dual wielding in video games. So I could see why a movie based on a video game would go there.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you really ought to explain it a little bit.
Yeah, because and you could. Yeah. I mean, somebody somewhere is going to do this. Somebody somewhere is going to make a great video game movie. They're going to figure it out. And it's going to make sense, and you're going to have, and it's going to be nods in that direction, like the latest James Bond movie, like when he's ordering his drink, and she's shaking it and not stirring it, and hands it to him, and he says, "Perfect." We all get it,
yeah.
But you didn't have to come out with a mallet and smack me in the face with it.
And so before you get to a point where a character is going to dual wield swords, it would be kind of cool to see that character just passively see them eating with two forks. See them, you know what I'm saying? But you know, because that's a tremendous skill that nothing in real life ever, no one ever dual wields. It's it's just way too hard to learn and execute.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about what I'm doing with this hand. I can't be thinking about not cutting myself with the other one.
Right. That's a great point. I still don't know why I called it the Tron trope. It's bugging me that still happened. All right, I got one last good thing to say about it, and that's it. There was a special effect that shocked me at how well executed it was in a movie full of very mediocre special effects, and that was when Meatloaf melted.
Oh, right. Oh,
and his skeletal thing.
It was actually pretty darn good.
Pretty good. Like CGI stuff and a little bit of practical in that room and whatever they were doing. Like that one precious moment where Uwe Boll probably missed it, probably didn't even see it. He's probably like, I'm too busy finding more prostitutes for scene. Now he's Chinese.
Right?
Now he's Chinese.
What the heck?
I apologize. So this whole movie got me thinking about something I wanted to talk to you guys about. IMDb has their movies as voted by users to be the bottom 100 movies ever made. And I'm curious to see if anybody guesses the 100th or the first, like the number one worst film of all time or the 100th.
Well, I haven't checked it in a long time, but that Monos Hands of Fate, because of Mystery Science Theater 3000, regularly gets bottomed out.
Yeah. Well, the part of the problem is because, and that one's number four, by the way, the problem with those movies, or the problem with this list is once in a while, like Troll 2, I don't think is even on here. And it probably, by all accounts, should be. Oh, no, there it is. Number 92. I think that would be higher, but people beloved it as a cult favorite.
It's got
a cult
following. Yeah. Sure. And I think that's probably, it's the fact that a movie that has reputable actors in it, I'll skip Michael Madsen, I'll skip Virginia Madsen's wayward brother.
Yeah. Wait, they're related?
Yeah, they're brother sister.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And she's so good.
She is great.
Like, there's a scene in Sideways where I just she's just talking about wine and her character. And I just feel like it almost feels like it was ad-libbed. It almost feels like the real actual character was there. And how could Michael Madsen not have the ability to deliver a line? It's beyond me.
Well, there's a
sis. You go ahead and go to your acting class. I'll pick you up afterwards. We'll go to the bar.
I'll pick you up,
sis. But you're pacing him way too fast.
Yeah. There. Too much credit.
That's the thing about Michael Madsen, especially all through Blood Rain. He's constantly trying to think of the next word.
Yeah.
Every word.
My favorite character in the movie is the bald guy's henchman, like second in command, another sub boss.
The guy with the shaved pattern in his head?
Yeah. Now, the reason I like him is he is 2 inches away from being handsome. But look at his photo on IMDb and realize why he's only in Uwe Boll movies. That guy is cross-eyed goofball. Look at him. He looks like – it's almost like the Channing Tatum truck ran him over but forgot to get the eyes right. Like, he's a kind of an okay-looking guy, but he is cross-eyed as nobody else can be. And he is in all his movies, House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark, Name of the King, all that stuff.
Is that Michael Paré or?
Will Sanderson.
Will Sanderson, okay.
Looks like a normal dude, but got these eyes. It's weird. It's like he's just getting these weird outcasts to be in his movies.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
I can't.
And he looked, it's a funny picture on IMDb, but he looked like he was too modern to be in this film.
Yeah. He should have been in like Step It Up 3 or something.
Right. Yes. The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. He should have been an extra in that. So number one, but I just wanted to read you these top 10 movies and let's see if we agree with them because I thought these were fun. Disaster Movie, number one, came out in 2008. That is
okay. Yeah. The Disaster. Yeah.
Worst movie of all time. And that's the Friedberg's, the guy who made Scary Movie and Epic Movie.
So it's the comedy, right.
Yeah, and keep in mind the top nine are all rated 1.9, so it's kind of, they're all tied.
Basically a tie.
Hottie and the Naughty, 2008. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, it was bad. Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2 from 2004.
Oh, now that was bad. I saw that at the theater.
Manos, Hand of Fate. You did not. Really? Yeah. Dude, what did you waste your money on? Oh, my gosh.
It was free.
I don't even know if I could do it
even,
for that.
Even then.
Nothing's for free.
Right.
Nothing's truly free in this world.
Even if
that.
It was a nice, cool movie theater Why? On a hot day.
I know, right? Why is this free?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's funny. All these are in the 2000s so far, but one of them's 89. Anyway.
You think it's because they sting the most? Because we remember them the
maybe.
Closest?
Pledge This at number 5.
Wow. Paris Hilton twice. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going Overboard, number 6. Number 7, From Justin to Kelly. I don't remember that.
That was the American Idol.
You don't remember From Justin to Kelly?
I didn't see it, but I remember it.
Justin Guarini.
I don't remember it. I like Kelly Clarkson though. Her one song, I still. It's she's a good. She's my Spice Girls. I like her music. Let's see, Birdemic, Shock and Terror, 2010. Get that on the list, baby.
Wasn't that just a Sci-Fi Channel made for TV movie?
Might have been.
And it was like a lot of shots of birds flying around.
Right.
Number 9, the Who's Your Caddy? Ugh. Number 10, The Wild World of Batwoman. So
I've never heard of most of these movies. What the crap?
There's some pretty good ones in here, you guys. Things like Die Hard, Dracula, Turks in Space.
You know, to qualify, really have to, you know, sit enough people in seats to be really qualified for this, if you ask me.
Devilfish. Yeah. Kazam. Remember that? Speaking
of Kazam, I remember.
Yeah. Remember Kazam. It's Pat. Oh, that's too bad. It's Pat. Battlefield Earth is in there. So
it'd be interesting to see. So now we know Brian. So
oh, you know what?
The three of us others, like what the highest number on the list is that we actually saw in the theater.
I think I just proved myself wrong, you guys. I just hit the one that I hated worse that we film sacked than this.
Oh, what is it?
It was Battlefield Earth.
I hated John Travolta.
No, I freaking hated it so bad. I'm willing to say Blood Rain's better than that.
You would rather sit down and watch Blood Rain than you would Battlefield Earth.
Give me a couple of months and then maybe. But I'm just saying, I know what you guys are saying. You've forgotten how bad that is. There's a movie with no joy at all. None.
I don't know, man.
If that's the rule.
Walter's pretty happy. He's pretty pleased with himself in that movie.
That movie is shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, just wanted to share that with you.
So it looks to me like the lowest rated film on IMDb that I saw in the theater was Epic Movie. Mm. Again, Friedberg Seltzer.
Yeah, hate those.
Do you have a link to this so I can look?
I have it in the. I'll put it in the chitty chat here.
And, you know, they still, it, even like with a spoof compilation, like Epic Movie, you know, they got Cal Penn, they got Crispin Glover, Tony Cox, Daryl Hammond, Carmen Electra, Fred Willard. Like, you look at just the cast and go, how could that be one of the 100 worst films of all time, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you never know. By the way, the whole point of me...
No, you do. You go see it. I saw it, and it was awful.
I really feel bad that you went and saw that, seriously. I could. Yeah. I would give you $8 for your standard right here. Because
I feel bad that we all saw Blood Rain.
Like I do, too. And Blood Rain should be in this top, this low 100. It's not. Alone in the Dark is, however, which is an Uwe Boll film. Mm-hmm. And so is... He's got, like, three of them in here.
Ooh, wow, I still have not found a movie. I'm at number 76, and I still have not seen a movie.
Wow.
Seen one of these in the theater.
In theaters, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
Mine's
think
number three,
have.
So I did pretty good.
You did really well.
American Ninja 5. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think I have either now that I'm looking at it.
No, none in the top 100.
No, let's see. I got. I had to have seen one of these. Right?
How have we not seen Anus McGillicuddy? I think that's a name that Scott Johnson uses when he can't think of a name.
Yeah, you're right. I do.
Sounds like a name that was generated by committee on the Howard Stern show.
I came so close to seeing Glitter. So just
let's see 1944's I Accuse My Parents. The hell is that?
No.
I don't. You know what? I've gone through this whole list too. I've not seen one of these in the theater.
None of y'all saw Son of the Mask in the theater.
Oh, House of the Dead, Uwe Boll, number 29. What?
Nope. Didn't see that.
You didn't see Son of the Mask?
Nope, not in movie theaters. Nope.
I saw that one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
No.
Yeah.
There's a Tony Blair Witch Project.
Look at that. Oh, I saw Leonard Part 6 at the theater. I didn't see that back
no.
in the day. That was
I remember.
Really
I had warning. Fun. I had gotten enough warning about that one.
Yeah. So much
Ed?
Fun.
1996 Ed. That's not the one with...
Johnny
all right,
Depp.
All right, all right.
Matt LeBlanc and the chip. Oh. Nope, didn't see that one in the theater.
All right. Wasn't there one called Ed that had him in it?
No.
Yeah, there was like a, it was like Armageddon and Deep Impact that year. It was the Truman Show and
Oh, but it was Eddie or something.
Ted. But there was a, you know how bad the movie is we're talking about?
Yeah, I know it's talking about.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah, he volunteered for it.
Yeah. All right.
Didn't even see Cool as Ice.
It'd be cooler if you did. Seems like I've seen pieces of Cool as Ice on like other things, TV cable,
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
But
I would like to know.
Get Net Zero and go with the hero.
Right.
I would like to know, like, if you set an arbitrary lower limit, how many films in IMDb fall under it? Like, how many films are have a rating of under 4, you know?
Oh, a lot, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all of this guy's movies.
Yeah, everything he has to be in there. I don't think he's ever been well reviewed on anything. The only one I see in there that's got anything close to that is like a 4 for Postal. That's it.
So none of us saw Alone in the Dark?
No. Most people think Blood Rain's brilliant compared to that. That's the word on the street.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And that's got Christian Slater in it, I think, doesn't it? Pretty sure it does.
Alone in the Dark does?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What is up? There's something up. It isn't just simply the money. It's got to be something else.
And Tara Reid. Oh,
I don't. It could be the money, though. I mean, this is the same industry that has a sequel to Human Centipede.
Yeah, which was dumb, by the way. Not creepy. Not scary.
You saw it.
I did. The first one gave me the willies. The second one, I thought was just dumb.
And I meant to say multiple sequels.
Yeah, it was not funny or not funny. Like, it was not. It wasn't shocking. It wasn't anything. It was just dumb. I can't even explain. I don't know. He lost his way.
It's a one gimmick movie. I mean, once you figure out that he's going to sew people's butts through other people's mouths, I mean, that's pretty much it.
You kind of spent your cash. Yeah.
So what would you do to make a sequel to Human Centipede is the question.
Well, I wouldn't do one, first of all.
I'd shove their whole head up somebody's butt.
Romanian
prostitutes. I should not have heard the cuttlefish.
I'd just like to point out
the best South Park. Have you guys seen that South Park? Oh, yes. My gosh. Anyway, sorry.
I'd just like to point out that the writer-director of The Human Centipede, the writer-director, his name is Tom Six.
Yeah.
On his IMDb profile page, it's a picture of him walking three dogs, and the three dogs look as though they are sewn mouth to
brilliant.
Butt.
Brilliant.
In his IMDb profile page, go look up Tom Six. That's his name, Tom Six.
Stupidest name.
Two X's, like Nick Six.
actually looks like he's walking a canine centipede.
He's got pugs. He's got pugs.
That's awesome.
Oh, my heck. You're kidding me.
Isn't that crazy?
A shop.
It's obviously on purpose because why would this be your IMDb photo if you weren't trying to show that?
And I like this trivia. I like that his headline trivia thing is he's a curryaholic, eats spicy curries almost every day.
Yeah,
no, that is very trivial.
Yeah, that is extremely trivial.
Wouldn't want him in my human centipede.
No, he's the worst. He is one of these guys. There is a class of filmmaker, and he fits right in there with Bowl and with I don't know, Ed Wood would be proud of what's going on now. Mm-hmm. I think this is it's that kind of thing. And I know there are other directors I can't think of right now.
Roger Corman.
Yes, the Roger Corman stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the trauma dude.
Where they act like they think they're rocking the world. They own it. Nobody can touch us. We are artistic mavericks. And they're just shit.
Yeah, we better not ever let Scott watch any Lars von Trier movies.
No, I've seen one. What's the one with the green goblin and the lady out in the woods? What's that one called?
Oh, wow.
That was terrible. I hated it.
Saw that?
Yeah, that made me ill. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like that one at all. Yeah, who's way up his own butt is Von Trier.
Is that Melancholia?
Maybe.
That's the one with Kristen.
I think it's Antichrist. Antichrist, that's it. Yeah, that's the one. And it's that director's just so far as up his own butt, I'm pretty sure he can see out the other end. He's looking at. He's just a normal looking guy. That's how far up he is.
That's funny. Yeah, I actually got a free copy of Dancer in the Dark with Bjork, and I haven't watched it yet. I actually have the DVD sitting in my shelf, but
is that a Von Trier joint?
That's a Von Trier. Yeah.
What's that supposed to be like? Just utter depression, melting all over everything.
Well, it had the best song. It was the best picture or the best song in the Oscars, whatever year 2000 that it came out. That song by. It wasn't by Bjork. It was by, or I guess it was by Bjork, but it was the guy from Radiohead who came out and sang it.
Oh, I did see Melancholia now that you mention it.
Oh, you've seen two Von Trier movies?
Well, wait, is this the one Nicole told us about?
She warned us about that. Unfortunately, too late for me.
Yeah, I didn't see. I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of a different movie she recommended that I saw that was like that.
I just need to keep my image of you intact because.
Yeah, the only one I've seen is that Antichrist one, and the Green Goblin, I like him in that. He was terrible.
Like, you got through it? You watched, like.
Kind of. You know what? My memory is I may have kind of went about three quarters in and went, I think I'm done here.
There's a pretty.
No, I know which one you're talking about. I know. I know the scene. Oh, yeah.
Self mutilation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Put that in that jar. Keep it for later.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know the one.
Yeah. Scott Johnson, watch that movie.
Von Trier is gross. All right, moving on. clips? How about some clips?
That'll surely make everything better.
That'll wash all the dirty taste out of
there's some mouth. Michael Madsen.
All right, well, let's see what we got. Here is, I don't know what this is, so here it is.
What do you have for us?
I think I may have found something of interest.
Is that, that's not him. Is it the director?
The first part was, oh, no. Okay. No, that's not Uwe.
First part was Madsen, but I thought that was Uwe Boll there at the end. So that's, I think, why I captured it. All right, I like this guy.
See the freak of all freaks.
See the freak of all freaks.
And you just know right when you see him, trope, that he's going to be one of the first to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Every time. Here's awesome bad death sounds. It's during the vampire attack, and I thought these were great and comical. Here you go.
Just like hearing those goats do the human yells.
Yeah, yeah. That could have been a goat video right there.
It's just like hearing those goats do the human yells. Oh my gosh. That's going to make me laugh later when I think of it. Michael Madsen is terrible. Here is evidence. Evidence number one.
Listen, you two. When has a vampire ever been held in captivity, let alone by a circus troupe?
Okay, that's not even that bad.
Circus troupe.
You notice how they do this in some movies. This one did it all the time. If you just get rid of all your abbreviations, that's somehow supposed to make everybody sound more official. So instead of saying, we've got to go kill it, they'll say, we have got to go kill it.
Yeah,
and they made him do that all the time.
Like, contractions.
I was like, or control. What did I say? Abbreviations. I didn't mean that.
We knew what you meant.
Yeah, FBI, yeah. CIA. Those are
those are acronyms.
Yeah.
I got it all wrong.
Here is Michelle Rodriguez with her ever-changing accent.
Haven't we wasted enough time with fairy tales?
Haven't we wasted enough time?
Here I'm playing Catherine Zeta-Jones.
And over here, I'm playing Biker Chick.
In a minute, I'll be talking like Adele.
I'm so happy I won. Will there be anything else, m'lady? Spam, spam, spam.
Sorry.
No, I like it. That's the third way I hadn't thought of Adele, and now I will. All right, here's, what's this?
Scratch that.
Oh, it's freaking Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Scratch that.
Scratch that.
No, I will not scratch that. All right.
Yeah, what?
Only wish to kill vampires.
I will not harm you. I only wish to kill vampires.
Okay, she just did it. Listen to the top.
I will not harm you.
I will not harm you.
I only wish to kill vampires.
I only wish to speak as a robot would. Beep, boop. The creepy dude that's in lots of film sacks. You know this guy. Here.
You're not one of Kagan's, are you?
No. I mean you no harm, but I must leave now.
I'm sorry you cannot leave. It seems that you absorbed the eye.
You absorbed the eye.
So I did not understand what in the crap he said.
He's great though. He's in other film sack movies.
He's in lots of them. Yeah, that's Udo Kier.
Yeah, Udo.
Udo.
He was in.
You might remember him from such films as
Cherry Three. No, what was the one with Pamela Anderson? We saw. What was that?
Barbarella.
Barbed wire.
Blubberella. Yeah. Barbed wire. Yeah, he was in that, as I recall. He was the bad guy.
Yes, that's right.
I thought Pamela Anderson was the bad guy.
Bad movie. Actually, that was a pretty bad movie. You know what? In Cherry 2000, that was pretty bad. I still think this was worse.
Still, you're not even close to the bottom of the barrel.
Johnny Mnemonic, he was in.
Ooh.
Yeah, Brian liked that movie.
All sinners.
Somehow Brian likes that movie and doesn't like Minority Report. Something's wrong.
No. Because it's all about being pretentious.
Yeah.
God, he was in that Judge Dredd or one of the Stallone ones we'd seen, but maybe not.
Watching
Stop Her Mama Shoot. Is that it?
No.
Stop Her Mama
Owen Shoot. Doesn't have a friend.
Owen doesn't have a friend. Not even right.
Oh, that's the wrong movie.
Throw Mama for the Trip.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
My daughter the other night, we're watching Seinfeld and the one where they're trying to get the Frogger across the street. And the guy helping him is the Russian dude. And my daughter goes, Dad, I think that's the guy that sold Tom Cruise his eyes in that movie.
Gosh.
And I'm like, it is. That's him.
Oh, no.
He's great. Wait till you watch Armageddon and see who he is there.
Right.
All right. What else here? Oh, some good death sound. There's a great death sound here. Check this one out. I can't take that seriously. Meatloaf here.
She stays. Remove him.
She stays.
Which
him.
Is it?
Yeah, which way is it? It says something else.
Why such a dedicated peon.
Oh, geez. Marvin. Mm-hmm. Is it Marvin?
Well, Mike. Used to be. Now it's Michael.
Michael.
Mike Loaf.
All right. I don't like all these artists changing their names. Oh, well, yeah. Artist. I mean, you guys have heard. You heard him sing at the Mitt Romney rally. Do you remember that?
Oh God!
Oh, yeah. It's hell in a basket.
You heard that, Brian?
Oh, it's so bad.
It's a bad out of hell.
It's so bad.
He's singing the America the Beautiful.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that. It's just awful. He's way off key the whole time. He's gasping for air. He's bent over like he can barely hold up his fat.
Yeah.
Where's my prostitutes?
Here it is. I want you to hear it. Just a part of it. I found the video, so I'll check it out.
Yeah. Everybody sing, come on. America.
Okay, that's not him. Well, no wonder you lost, you big goober. Hold on, we got to get to the part where he sings.
So he's tapping on a desk along with the
That's a joke.
He's so serious. That was when he endorsed Mitt Romney for real. And I really genuinely think you've just made Blood Rain a little better.
Mission accomplished. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Taker then.
Fine, Taker then.
Who's that?
Fine, Taker then.
Oh, that's still meat. Here's some really bad. Okay, here's some bad Madsen moments. Oh man.
Sometimes we must have faith in others. I believe you know that it's useless to fight Kagan alone. If you wish, you're welcome to stay here and train with us.
Is he reading
or something?
But right. can't you tell he's trying to remember his lines while delivering his lines?
Yes. No question about it. This movie used him poorly. I think that in the right film. Yeah. Exactly. He had something.
I agree. You make him tough. You make him a hitman and something and have him not even say that much. Just put a cap in someone's ass, as the kids say. Then he fits in just fine. I hated the music in this movie because it was all like MIDI, terrible, like keyboard crap. And here's a piece of it. Now, that's kind of video gamey, I guess.
Right.
But even now, I think our standards are higher. That's like video gaming, like 1998 PC game, CD-ROM game, you know? Ugh, terrible stuff. All right. And then finally.
You stop throwing things at me.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's end that on a Billy Zane. Oh, and we got a few. Here, listen to these.
Would you stop throwing things at me?
There you go. Scott Fletcher. Got one more.
I would sooner rot in your dungeon than sit at your table.
That's true. And then this one.
Ungrateful bitch.
Yes. Pretty good stuff. All right. Well, that leads us directly into what we like to call awards. And we have a few today to give out to this terrible piece of crap. Let's start us off with, lost it. There we go. This, the Why Is Uwe Boll Allowed to Make These Movies at All Award ran away with it. Yep. Clear winner, all the votes, unanimous. Fluctuating Accents Award went to everybody. The Michael Madsen Will Do Anything for a Paycheck Award, clear winner. Easy win. Yep. Star Trek connections include TJ Storm, who played Strongman / Kagan Vampire Guard number 3. Was a Klingon guard in Star Trek 2009. He did a really cool interview, according to Daryl, which people can check out online. Just search for it on, I guess CNN has it. Kofi Yeadom, he is Kagan's vampire guard number 1. He was a stuntman in Star Trek, the 2009 movie. And Chris Torres, Brimstone Man, Brian.
Excelsior. Exactly. Smells really bad.
Real bad, like burning. He's uncredited, but he played on Enterprise, played Mako Sergeant B. Moreno in 5 episodes. So some pretty good Star Trek action there. Soundtrack, great. I give it a KB for shitty keyboard synth.
All right.
Real bad. And then what else? That's it. There's nothing else to say. That's all there is about awards, because F those guys. They don't win anything. It's garbage. Razzies all the way. But that doesn't mean we can't sum it all up in the Twitter post or 3. Let's start with Randy. Randy, sum up this.
We'd just like to say in advance, this Twitter post is actually exactly 140 characters.
All right.
Good job.
Brilliant.
Bear with me. Blood Rain. Bad, 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 bad.
You know what? It's starting to not sound like the word anymore. It's starting to sound like a different word.
That
was almost musical.
That was exactly 140 characters.
Wow. Someone cap that out. Let's get a ringtone going. Dunaway.
Blood Rain spends more time in a cage than Tyson Chicken. If you're into that sort of thing, this movie is for you.
In a cave?
What'd cage.
Oh, cage.
Than a there's Tyson more chicken? There's more cage scenes in this movie than any movie I've ever seen in my life.
That's
she's
true,
always right? in a she's always locked up in a cage, yep. Or a dungeon or something.
Or doing it shackled. Up against one. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Rape, man raping. Yeah, I know.
Oh, geez, that whole scene. Throw that whole part away. All right. Mr. Ibbett.
Blood Rain. The only redeeming thing about this film is that you can try and fool the high school student behind the counter at your local GameStop and get $2 off a used copy of Star Fox 64.
Nicely done. Keeping the video game reference alive. Well, here's what I learned while you kept pounding that dude's intestines after they spilled out and he was already dead. In Blood Rain world, all water is bad for you, not just the holy stuff.
True.
I thought Ben Kingsley would have had learned his lesson after Species. Nope. Species, I guess. I don't know. I say species. Some people say species.
Species. I don't get the H sound in there at all.
Listen here, you ever lose your car keys?
Species. Yeah, I say species.
I found the cure to cancer and I lost it. All right. And then finally, Michelle Rodriguez, still pretty hot, and that's what I learned from this movie. Here's a couple emails for you. Always like hearing from you guys. Keep these coming. This email comes to us from Jeff from Columbus, Ohio. It says, this movie was a first date movie. I'm talking about this movie, Blood Rain.
Wow. And first, last date.
Yeah. First date movie for me in 2005. It was the Dollar Movie Theater, and I had no idea that the movie or what it was about because she picked it. So the girl picked it. I remember seeing Michael Madsen's name on the poster out front and thought, cool, this should be a good movie since everything I remember before was Tarantino movies. Then it went downhill the moment Meatloaf's name came across the credits. then again, when he first appeared on screen, we went out for a year after the date. Didn't go bad, but the second movie she picked was Silent Hill. I started picking movies after that. Thank you, Scott, Brian, Randy, and all who helped with Film Sack, Josh from Columbus, Ohio. That's an awesome email. It made me laugh.
Totally.
Scott in California says, on my recent re-listening binge, I have decided that the one about Dragnet is my favorite Film Sack. I love the 17-minute detour into my new favorite Frog Pants game. Quote, guess the 80s TV show Brian Dunaway hasn't seen yet. when Randy brought us back to the movie, it still took me 2 more minutes to remember the movie was Dragnet. Then I was rewarded with a review of Tongan-Samoan relations in Utah. Scott from California. That's great. Best part about that is my daughter is now dating a guy who is half, his mother is Samoan, his dad is Tongan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. And let the war begin between the Tongans and the Samoans. It's almost, I feel like there's like some kind of Romeo and Juliet thing happening. Yeah. That's got nothing to do with us. It's just the Tongan Samoan thing.
Maybe it's the half vampire, half.
Right. Right. He made the joke. This is on him. It was pretty funny. He said, I said, well, when I grew up, the Tongans pulled your tree out. That's what you did. You paid $200 and the Tongans would come pull your tree out. And he goes, well, now I can pull your tree out and I can break up your driveway and put new cement in. Because I guess that's what the Samoans do. So okay. Now I got both sides covered.
Nice.
Anyway, he's a nice guy. Let's get out of here. Next movie, Barbarella.
Yay. No, yay.
We've been putting that for a while. You know?
Right.
Jane Fonda, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right.
Who else?
So Fonda, who doesn't like when you see her boobs?
Yeah. Oh, were those out in this?
Oh, yeah. She got mad. No. Yeah, they were. Oh, they were so out.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. I thought Barbarella
was. Well, they're not out. They're kind of like in the silicone looking stuff.
Yeah, they're offered up.
All right. They're on display.
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you have it then. Barbarella next week. Stay tuned for that. We'll bring that right to you here right on Film Sack. That's going to do it for us. Let's get out of here. The website to visit is FilmSack. You might have been there before. I don't know if you have or not. It's a great place to be. Come hang out with us there. It's a good place to be. I like it. Why is that so loud? Let's turn that down. Let's see what else. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, FilmSack for the show. Scott Johnson for me. Randy Deluxe for Randy. Coverville for Brian Ibbett. And Mission Deep for Brian. Follow all of us. We'd appreciate it. And leave us a review on iTunes. We like that as well. That's going to do it for us. Oh, Nerdtacular's happening. Go check it out, nerdtacular.com. Details, news. You can support the Kickstarter that's ongoing right now. We're all going to be there. Live Film Sack at the event. That is the tradition. It looks like it's going to happen again. And lots of cool stuff this year. I'm really excited about it. So do check out nerdtacular.com if you are interested in being part of this year's event. We would love to see you there. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Clever girl.
We'll see you next time.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there. We'll be right back.